I appreciate Brother Bradley. And I'm honored to be here this morning, and I appreciate it. I'm always honored to get to come to Grace. And I'm glad to see some. Some needs to be put in jail for the crimes that they've committed on humanity. Sitting to my right and got this real pretty blue shirt on. Talking about you, Noble. Did you hear me? Hey, this morning the Sunday school was outstanding. If you wasn't here, shame on you. The book of I'm not going to preach this. The book of 2 Timothy, please. I was sitting there and 2 Timothy, I'm going to show you. I appreciate what he said. I'll be honest with you. I believe it ought to be broadcast what he said. What our problem is a sin problem. We don't call sin sin anymore. We got all these preferential treatment handles. Like they're not having an affair. I mean, they're not having an affair. It's not a whoredom anymore. It's not vile. They're a kleptomaniac, or they don't steal. They have a drinking problem. But if you call them a drunk, I want to show you. Go to 2 Timothy, and I appreciate everybody asking me about my wife. And she's, most of you, I guess if you read my letter, one of the most devastating things of our life was just recently when she got out of the hospital 15 days, and she almost died. So we went, that was after the hospital stay, so we went to Dr. Dixon, which is our personal physician, and he said, Mary, I want you to go see a Dr. Shelton. So we went and seen Dr. Shelton, and from there, he was a surgeon, and from there, she went and had a mastectomy. And from there, he said, I'm almost positive. We got all of it, no problems. He said, I don't think it's cancer. Called us back for a consultation. They removed her left breast. And it's just devastating. So we went in, and he looked at us and he said, I'm sorry, but he said, I thought we had it all. He said, there was no redness, there was no swelling, but he said, it's cancer. I don't know if you've ever had to face anything like that when you say cancer, but it's a devastating thing when they say cancer. So anyway, from there they took us to an oncologist. She's had one treatment of chemo. She's got six more to go. We went this past Wednesday, and they missed the port. And from there, the fluid went out into her body. We had to go back to the hospital. Now we got to go tomorrow for another treatment of chemo. But she's not losing. She's not had a hair loss. She's not been sick, or she's not been nauseated, which that's a good thing. Amen. You know, one of the greatest truths I guess I ever got a hold of, you may have cancer, or I may have cancer, but if you love the Lord and you know God and you got a relationship with Him, nothing can happen to us without His knowledge. Amen, sister. I ain't changed too much. I told Brother Noble, I said, now, Noble, I can run, but I have to walk back. I asked him, would he help me? And that's the silence I got. Can you just see him carrying me? That would be good, wouldn't it? Hey, 2 Timothy, please. I want you to read this for me in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul starts out and he says, know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, anybody that's any kind of, we're living in perilous times or troublesome times. And he goes on to enumerate them. He says, heady and high-minded and proud and lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasures. But that's not what I want you to see. Drop down, if you don't mind, in verse 11. The brother used this morning. Persecutions and afflictions which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Brother, you might ought to want to turn me down a little. Look in your next verse. Now I want you to watch this. Yea, all that shall live, say it back to me. Say it again. Yea, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. Now watch the next verse. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Brother, that is the period of time we are living in. Is my tie crooked? Will y'all agree with that? It is a terrible time. I'm talking about there. If you read Matthew 24, where Jesus looked over at his disciples, handpicked them. They went everywhere with him. And he looked at him and says, be thou not deceived. I thought about it. If those men could be deceived, then he says, take heed that no man deceive you. We can be deceived. There's untold preachers that are standing behind the pulpit that are deceiving people. Let me show you what I mean. We had three churches in our county that have literally closed their door, no longer in existence. Brother Sisson, that can't be happening. Three have shut their door. Christmas time this year. I'll show you how about this deceptive time. The First Baptist preacher, and I don't mind calling names. The First Baptist preacher over in town, he despises the ground I walk on because of our stand on liquor. He said we were too controversial. Liquor's wrong. If it's about a thimble or a quarter or a gallon. But let me show you what he done. Christmas Day, because it fell on the 25th, right, this year, he put in the paper, if you'll come on Sunday, we'll have to be baptized on the 25th of December. What has that got to do with anything? Because it falls on December the 25th. So I went over to the radio station, and guess just who happened? He had brought another individual, and he said, and I tried to be courteous, and I tried to be nice, and he said, preacher, said, I listen to you occasionally on the radio, but he said, I don't agree with you. Well, I said, I don't agree with myself 99% of the time, but I said, I don't agree with you either. I said, I don't get the newspaper, but I said, a guy gave me your article that you put in the newspaper. By the way, he baptized a whole lot of people. They filled the church on Sunday morning on Christmas Day. Guess what they did? They had a baptism. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? Just because Christmas Day, going to baptize people. So I told him, I said, did anybody deal with these people one-on-one? I said, was they supposed to be saved people? I said, he said, we got cards on them. We're going to follow up. You surely don't agree with that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, the conversation didn't go too well. Anyway, I just let it go. But anyway, what I want you to see is people are being deceived and going about being deceived. This deception is running everywhere. They're deceived about the church. They're deceived about conversion. And it's getting worse. If you look at, I know my wife sometimes, they'll say, your English ain't right. Well, look here, God didn't call me to be an English major, he called me to be a preacher. In 2 Timothy 3, it uses the word worse and worse. Right, Miss Betty? I'm going to have to preach about a month. I may come back next week. Probably won't nobody be here, but I'll come. But I'll come anyway. But what I'm saying is, we're living in a time, how many of y'all remember, and I go back a long way with grace, years ago, people, now this is my personal belief, I believe when television came into existence, it's the ruination of our homes and our churches. Now I've got one, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. I had a good, do y'all have Amish people down here? Amish, Mennonites, much difference is daylight and dark. Y'all do know that, don't you? Amish and Mennonites are not the same. I had this Brother Miller, he's an Amish. And I said, if you don't mind telling me, I said, I love how y'all raise kids. But he said, we don't raise our kids real well. I said, you don't? I said, I've always admired you. You know, they wear their homemade clothes and homemade hat and suspenders. He said, we have a lot of trouble with our children, but he said, not as much as you do. He said, you people are worldly. I said, well, we're worldly. But he said, our children, he said, they see the way these children are raised, and then they want to become what these children are. And he said, we don't have televisions. He said, we don't have radios. And he said, we still drive horse and buggies. And I said, well, would you ride in my truck? He said, well, yeah, I'd ride in your truck. I said, well, why would you ride in my truck if I'm worldly? You ought to get that in a minute. It says every generation we're just losing. What used to be, we don't call it that anymore. Amen, Sisson. But the seed was sown about almost 50 years ago, and now that seed is up. It's sitting on pews. I'm talking about this easy believism thing. And people are so deceived, amen, they don't know what real Christianity is. And let me show you this. Yea, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. You don't see a lot of people wanting to live godly. Hey, that's enough. All right, got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Right kind, Brother George, it'll count. I love Brother George. He stayed down there in the mines so long, it's pitiful. Hey, the book of 2 Corinthians. I cringed this morning when our Sunday school teacher, when he said the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, and I want you to look, if you would, in verses 12, chapter 3. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 13. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is up on their heart. Now let me stop there. The nation of Israel is blinded. An individual Jew can be saved. But the nation of Israel is blinded. One of the most saddest things I ever seen in my life is when you go to Israel, is to watch them old rabbis on the sun, when the sun is comes up, and it's sunrise, is to watch them get a staff in their hand and go out there and start walking towards the eastern sun, and people will fall in line following that priest out there. Hey, the Messiah has already come. Jesus has already came. They're still expecting him to come. And for deliverance, boy, they're blinded. Well, the nation of Israel is blinded. Now, let me read on. Now, watch. He says, but the veil is up on their heart. That's verse 15. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, if you go through your Bible, there's the veil of the tabernacle. Then there's the veil of the holy temple. There's the veil of his flesh. There's the veil here in 2 Corinthians. But I want to show you another veil. Go to the book of Exodus with me, and I want you to look in chapter 34 while you're turning. Hey, how many of you have ever been to a wedding or where the bride was veiled? Let me see your face. Have you, Brother Bradley? The veil was up on her face. Let me ask you a question. Why do we do that? Why does the bride put a veil on their face? I could write a book on weddings that I've been in 50 years. And I have been in some weddings, trust me. I was down in North Carolina. You got X's, please? Be turning there and I'll show you. I go there every year and have been like for 35, 40 years of my life, every year of my life. I met Bud way back there years ago. And 3 years in a row, he's been 3 or 4 years that he has been the farmer of the North Carolina. He's a very wealthy man. I mean, he farms thousands of acres. He's the kind of person that you don't tell no. Have y'all ever seen anybody like that? Have you ever just seen somebody you don't tell him no? He come up to me and he said, Preacher Sisson, I want you here on Saturday at 2 o'clock. I want you to be here for Eileen's wedding. Said, I'll get you a room, but I want you here at 2 o'clock. I said, well, okay, bud. Now, I'm not making fun of him, Kathy. God knows I don't do that. But he don't have no teeth from here over. And when he talks like this, he's always like that. He said, I want you here on Saturday at 2 o'clock. You ain't never seen a wedding like that in your life. Wall-to-wall people. All of a sudden, the organist and the pianist, they said, would you please face the rear? So we stood, and here come this limo pulled up. You could see it outside. They got out and opened the door. Bud gets out, helps his daughter out. I mean, knocked down, gorgeous. You ought to have seen it. I mean, the wedding dress itself was the train on the thing. Well, everybody knows that preachers, we do this. We got chalk in our pockets that when we're having the rehearsal, we mark where everybody's supposed to stand. So here we come now. Bud's got his daughter by the arm. They come up through here, and he's grinning from ear to ear. She's got a veil up on her face. They get right up here to the front, and the preacher says, if any man can show just cause why this woman should not be united, this man should not be united in holy matrimony, let them speak now, forever hold their peace. Well, it got deathly quiet. Nobody said a word. The preacher said, who gives this bride away? Bud said, give her away nothing. He said, you don't know what this wedding's costing me. He said that in the middle of that wedding. His wife said, sit down, Bud. Give her away nothing. He said, you don't know what this is costing me. See, there's a driver sitting out there in a limo. Well, we had the wedding and we had a ball. So we got thinking an idea, and I think all the time, and I love this, but I love my Bible. You can't exhaust it. You can't get all out of it out of the Bible. But I want you to look in Exodus. I'm going to use these veils, not all five of them. But look at Exodus, please, in chapter 34. And watch this. Moses, in verse 28, he was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't either eat bread nor drink water. He wrote up on the tables the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. All right, drop down, and I want you to watch this. And it came to pass when Moses come down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand when he came down from the mount, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. Now watch this. Verse 33, till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil upon his face. In other words, a veil between his face was just a glow. Personally, I believe this. Before Adam and Eve transgressed, I believe that they had the Shekinah glory of God, or the illumination or brightness, if you would please. Moses had been in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights till his face just came aglow. How many of y'all remember in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration? How many of y'all remember that at noonday, Jesus, his face shone, his whole body glistened? Well, watch this. If you look at your next verse in Exodus chapter 34, watch this. Let me read it to you. Look in verse 35. And the children of Israel, they saw the face of Moses, that the Moses' face shone, and Moses put a veil upon his face until he went in to speak with him. All right, that's the first veil that's mentioned in there. There's the veil of the tabernacle, the veil of the temple. In Hebrews 10, there's the veil of his flesh. But I want to show you, if I can, a bride takes and adorns herself and bathes herself, and the groom is never used to, I don't know whether it is, primarily it's not like it used to be, but the groom never saw the bride until literally till she lifted her veil. Think about this for a moment. What happens when the veil is lifted? I mean, I've been in weddings where they've been veiled, but I'm talking about the bride is absolutely knocked down gorgeous. That's her day. That's her special day. But the groom now, when he raises the veil upon her face, he sees the beauty of his bride. So I got to thinking, what happens when the veil is lifted? Well, spiritually speaking, before you're saved, you don't have no understanding whatsoever of God. But when the veil is lifted, and that takes the Spirit of God to lift the veil. If you're lost without God, you're still in darkness. Well, the Spirit of God has got to lift that veil. Now, the church cannot lift that veil. Baptism cannot lift the veil. A turning over a new leaf can't lift the veil. You have to agree with me that when the veil is lifted, there's something that takes change. All right, if that be so, what happens when the veil is lifted? I believe you'll have a spiritual understanding that you never had before. Spiritually speaking, I believe when the veil is lifted, you'll have a spiritual understanding that you never had before. Behold, all things become as new. Old things are passed away. I believe that. Saturday night, I was over in Crab Orchard, Kentucky, where my hometown. And I was preaching in this big old church, and they're sitting up in the balcony. They're sitting everywhere. And they was talking about everybody. I hadn't seen some of them people for 50 years of my life. That's my hometown. Everybody was talking about what I used to be. One lady told me, she says, you was the meanest person I ever seen. I don't believe that. I mean, probably her son that I was running with, amen. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm saying people will always remember your past. They don't ever, I said, ma'am, I've been saved. I'm 72 years old. I said, I got saved when I was 19. I said, do you remember when I came back down here and we had a two-week revival meeting, a two-week tent meeting? Well, she didn't remember that. But what I'm saying is people will remember the worst about you. But guess what? Boy, when God lifted that veil, spiritually, I mean, you'll have an understanding that you never had before. You'll have a hunger you never had before. You'll have a different desire, amen, when the veil is lifted. But I got to thinking, what really happens when the veil is lifted? Well, I believe this. I really, truly believe this in my heart and soul. You'll see the goodness of God. If you really see the goodness of God and how good God's been to you, it's only by a miracle that we're not all in hell. Amen, sister. I have got scars all over me. There's one about that long, one here, there, everywhere. I mean, them scars. That was before I got saved. I never wrecked a car, but I was always with guys that did wreck them. But my point is, I think about how my life was so in jeopardy. I was a lost young man. I mean, lost, hell-bound. I'd made a false profession of faith when I was 12, but I was lost. The veil spiritually had never been lifted. But boy, I'm talking about how good God was to me when I look back and see, I mean, all the times that God spared my life, amen. Isn't that, boy, I think about it. Hey, God's been good to you too, man. When the veil is lifted, Brother Yankel, you'll see how good God's been to you. We all say amen to that. Hey, could you not been born in East Siberia somewhere and God let you be born in America? In the providence of God, that's the goodness of God that God lets you be born in America. I've got this man. Now, don't get upset at me. Don't get mad at me. He lives up there in one of them big high-ended houses up in that subdivision. And he's a black man, and he's from Pulaski County, but he spent 50-some years of his life in Massachusetts. That makes him a Yankee. He comes down to the house all the time, and he's boisterous, and he's loud, and I tell him all the time, God's going to kill him if he don't quit talking about his preacher. But he's loud and boisterous. And I tell him all the time, I try to calm him down. But he comes down there and he's talking about how and the conditions of America and what all's produced it, why that we are like we are. I told him, I said, James, you ought to thank God. Hey, you ought to thank God that God even lets you be brought to America and your ancestors brought here. Well, he got all hot and, yeah, brought me some pictures down there where some white men had hung some black men. I said, there's probably two or three more ought to be on them gallows. But he's giving me a fit over this thing. And I said, have you, now don't look at me. I'm looking at y'all's eyes. Have you ever thought about it? Did you know that these black people are griping, fussing, hollering, complaining? But did you know their own ancestors gathered them up and sold them to slave traders? But if they had not got to come to this America through slave trade, they would have never heard the gospel. So I told James that, and he's mad at me. It's in the providence of God that we're even here this morning. By the way, before y'all get too prejudicial, if I shook some of y'all's family tree, they don't tell them what may be back there. Amen, sister. What I'm saying is the goodness of God, when the veil is lifted, you'll see how good God's been to you. Amen. I'm talking about in his providence. How about in the very protection? I was coming down this morning. What was that lady that used to be the older man and woman that used to be here? That McGall? She used to give me a fit. Every time I'd come down here, she'd give me a fit. Well, we'd be talking, and I'd tell her I'd read a book coming down here. And I do. I mean, sometimes there's nobody on the parkway. I'm not in danger of nobody's life. If I want to sit over and glimpse at that, if I kill my own food self, ain't that my problem? But she told me, she said, you ought not be doing that. But what I'm saying is, I think about God protecting us. It's not your good driving. It's not your, no, say amen to me. Well, I guess you think it is. But it's not your good driving. I pulled up to get gas. This guy, when I pulled up, he pulled up right beside me. Is an identical car to that Park Avenue I'm driving. Identical. Same wheels, same color, same everything. Same interior. He said, do you realize we've got two cars exactly alike? I said, well, mine's got 258,000 miles on it. How many of yours have got? He said, nothing like no 258,000. And I got to thinking, I told him, I've wore out five Park Avenues. Listen, and I've never put a dent on a car. That's not my good driving, Larry. I didn't expect that out of you, George. That's not my good driving. I've never put a dent on a car. I mean, hey, 39 years I've been in evangelism. I've never had a wreck, never been in a wreck. Praise God, amen. I'm talking about God in his goodness. He protects us, amen. I was over in on Interstate 40. Most of y'all know I've been in evangelism for all these many years. I close out a meeting in High Point, maybe get in my car rep, maybe 9:30 or 10, take off through the draw from Asheville to Knoxville. One night there, I got right beside of a truck, which was pulling a flatbed truck that had dumpsters boomed down. Well, I just glanced at them like this as I passed it. And all of a sudden, I had this inside feeling, get around him. Did y'all ever have something like that? So when I got around him and I looked through my rearview mirror, all of a sudden, I seen dumpsters just fall everywhere. Well, I've always been agile and quick, so I pulled my car over, backed up as soon as I could. Now, we're in Interstate 40, and I got out of my car, run back there to him, and we're pushing dumpsters off of Interstate 40, and nobody got killed, amen. Ain't that a blessing? One night, I was coming out of Lynchburg, Virginia, on Highway 81, coming home. Home. Did you hear me say that again? Home. It was drizzling rain. I put my cruise on 72, and there's a truck been pulling. He was pulling double in front of me, and then there was a van. Well, we had been in line for a long, long time, but it just started drizzling rain. I thought, man, I'm going to get me a fresh cup of coffee. Y'all don't ever have one of them urges? Not instant. Real stuff. So I pulled off Interstate 81 right quick at the McDonald's, run through there right quick, got me a cup of coffee, got right back on the Interstate 81. I didn't go 5 or 6 miles down the road, and that 18-wheeler jackknifed, and that van went right up underneath it. So when me and the driver got out, we was up there trying to get the driver's side door open. And when we finally got the thing and felt of his pulse, we didn't have no pulse. I knew he was dead. But on the other side, in that van, there was a man groaning. So we run around on the other side, and we jerked the door open, and he was alive and got him out of the car. And all of a sudden, a helicopter came with a great big spotlights and all kinds of EMI and first responders. They all came. And a state trooper come up there, and he said, was you part of this wreck? I said, no, sir. Did you witness it? I said, no, sir, I did not. I said, I came up on it. He said, you're blocking the interstate. He said, you need to move your car. I went and got in my car. So help me, God. I didn't get 2 miles down the road, and cold chills come all over me that if I had not got off that interstate, I'd have been right up underneath that 18-wheeler. That is the protection of God. God looks after us. Amen, Brother Sisson. That's the goodness of God. God wouldn't shout for nothing. But when the veil is lifted, you see how good God's been to you. Amen. When the veil is lifted. Now let me show you. Go back to 2 Corinthians right quick, hurriedly. Now I want you to write this on the flyleaf of your Bible. The Spirit of God, he's the one that reveals to you. Amen. Oh my. Hey, he takes up abode. He lives in your heart. I try my best. We're talking about a veil now. We're talking about a veil. When the veil is lifted, you see the goodness of God. You see how he protects you. You see how he provides for you. I said, how he provides for you. I was kidding my buddy. I said, he wintered real good. Yeah, I am. I'm ashamed, Noble. No, come to you, I'm not. But what I'm saying is, if my wife the other day, I told her, y'all would be so, I don't know if you would not be or not, Betty. I don't know if you'd be proud of me or not. Man, I'm a good house husband. Man, I can make beds. I can vacuum the floors. Now I even know how to load a dishwasher. Have y'all got to that, moved up on y'all's scale yet? My daughters, all my grand, we couldn't have Christmas because of Mary being in the hospital. So we had Christmas on January 1st, or New Year's or whatever. So all the kids come home. I like it when they come home, but I like it when they leave. But they all come home, and my Kelsey, my granddaughter Kelsey, and that's Mary's clone, Kelsey was in there and we was cleaning up the kitchen. She says, Grandpa, come here, like that. Well, what do you want? So I went in there and she said, this is not how you load a dishwasher. I thought you just open the door, put some dishwashing liquid in it, put the plates, put the bowls. I didn't know there's a specific way that you loaded a dishwasher. Now I'm educated in loading a dishwasher. Ain't that pitiful? I can't get no respect. But I mean, me and my wife was talking about how good she and I, how good God's been to us. We've been married 54 years. 54 years. Most of them don't last 54 days. Amen, sister. But we was just talking about how good God's been to us. And I guess according to the Amish people, I guess we are rich. We got a 3-bedroom house, central heat, central air. Don't have to go get wood. Don't have to pack water from a spring. Don't have ironing day. Do you remember when Monday used to be wash day and Tuesday used to be ironing day? Think about that, guys. I mean, hey, when the veil is lifted, you see how good God's been to you. I think God's been good to us too, amen. Now let me show you this. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. It won't take me long. Go down 2 Corinthians. I want you to read this with me. Boy, this will bless you. All right, Paul said this. He says, the veil, it shall be taken away. That's back up in verse 16. So the Spirit of God, when he lifts the veil, all right, you'll have a hunger you never had before. You'll have a heart's desire to please God. Will y'all agree with that? A heart's desire to please God. Where I'm from, they're closing their doors on Sunday night, closing their doors on Wednesday night. How many of you ever heard of Landmark Baptist Temple in Cincinnati? Dr. John, what, say it, Rollins. My granddaughter called me the other day crying. She says, Grandpa, she said, I went with Bethany to Landmark. I said, well, what's wrong, honey? She says, Grandpa, you would have got up and left. The brother was talking about it's black inside. They got theater lights everywhere, strobe lights. The preacher's got hair all the way down to here, and he's got it blocked back here in the back. I'm talking about the Independent Baptist preacher. And he uses an NIV. And he had a Harley motorcycle on the pulpit. Now, that's real spiritual. My granddaughter even knew better than that stuff. She's 20 years old. Say amen. But I'm saying that a lot of people, the veil is still there. They don't have a heart's desire to even please God. Amen, Brother Simpson. They have no hatred against sin. Now, I want you to go back. But when the Spirit of God, he uses preaching. I believe that. He uses the precious Spirit of God. Amen. But I want you to watch. He says, and the veil should be taken away. Have you ever thought about it? When the veil is lifted, you see the goodness of God, and then you'll see the grace of God. I don't have adjectives to describe the grace of God, but I sure do love it. But see, when the veil is taken away, not only do you see how good God's been, but then you see the grace of God. It says, by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. If I could ask you, what is grace? How would you define it? Well, Brother Sisson, grace is God's unmerited favor. I agree with that. I ain't got a problem in the world with that. Grace is God even looking in mine and your direction. I know some of y'all wouldn't be honest enough to admit this, but I was a blasphemer before God saved me. I say that to my shame. I mean, hey, I was that. I was a lot of other things. But then God loved me. I mean, even before the foundation of the world, God loved me. He seen me. Grace is God looking in mine in your direction. Grace is God lifting you and up out of our sin. Grace is God giving his son for the likes of you and I. I know it's unmerited favor, but I'm telling you, I love the grace of God. But when the veil is lifted, you see the grace of God. I've had so many funerals, you have to excuse me, my voice is so raspy. Yesterday I had a funeral, Friday I had a funeral, and we went to the power plant to bury this poor, precious lady. She's 85 years old. We got to the, they shut the power plant down. That out of respect, ain't that a blessing? Shut the power plant down because they knew that we couldn't, the noise would be so great. So we went to this little family cemetery, and folks, it was 60 degrees Friday in Somerset. I thought I was going to die before I could get to my car. It's so cold. I have never, ever experienced such coldness at a cemetery in my life, and it's 60 degrees. It's phenomenal. I can't explain it to you even now. I mean, it just like a cloud coming in right over top of that cemetery, and the coldest wind. Not only me, everybody was holding their ears. Everybody, wasn't dressed for it. But I'm telling you this. They was talking about a boy that used to come and hear me preach all the time. And he's a radio listener. He was there. He was a nephew. He's a pallbearer. So he walked up to me after the services at the graveyard, and he said, "Brother Sisson, Preacher Sisson, I've never forgot you being kind to me." I said, "James." I said, "You remember you and I talking?" He said, "Yeah." His breath of alcohol, you couldn't even stand to hardly talk to him. The breath, his body odor was horrible. His breath was horrible. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, it's only by the grace of God that's not me doing what he's doing. Amen, sister. I don't ever want to forget what garbage heap God dug me out of. Hey, but when the veil is lifted, you'll see the grace of God. Let me show you something else right quick. When the veil is lifted, you'll see how great God is. Boy, I don't know if y'all seen this or not. I'm not much on Facebook, your face, his face, or I don't even know what Twitter is. My grandkids is always trying to get me to get up with the times. I don't want up with the times. I don't know what Twitter is, and I don't know what hashtagging is. Sound to me like you're cussing. Hashtagging, a lot of Twitter and all this junk. But it showed my grandson, he's 20, Dylan. Y'all remember Dylan? Y'all remember Dylan, my grandson? Well, let me tell you about Dylan. He lives with us. I got my granddaughter gone. She married off, doing good. And then Dylan moves in, same day. Ain't that real? I get rid of one, get another one. But Dylan, he's a good boy. He came in the other day and he said, "Grandpa," he said, "look here." And he pulled it up on that phone of his. And it showed them in the White House, some of y'all may have seen this, all of them with their heads bowed praying. Well, that's a good thing. But it showed a whole bunch of them just bowed their heads praying. And Pence, the vice president, was leading them, I guess. Ain't that a good thing? America, when you talk about when the veil is lifted and you see the greatness of God, personally, I believe this country is ready for a revolution. Not always to the good. Really. You unite all of these liberal Democrats and liberal whatever they are and liberal this, and they hate because we're pro-life. They hate us. If you ever get that bunch, what was it, a million women supposedly went to Washington, D.C.? Did y'all ever ask this question? Where was their husbands? Okay. Oh, man, I'm telling you the truth. I'm having me a good time with y'all or not. But hey, the veil, we see the greatness of God. America is wonderful. You think about how 2% of farmers feed all the other 98% and feed untold millions of people every year. Think about how great it is to live in this country. Think how great it is to have a good Bible-believing church. Think how great it is to have our liberties that we have, the freedoms that we have. Amen, sister. That's like me and that Southern Baptist preacher at war. Hey, we have rights. If I was probably in Russia, they'd already shot me. Because it's probably a church-controlled state. But what I'm saying is, it's great to live in this country. It's great. It's great to know you're saved. It's great to know that your name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's great to know that no matter what happens to me, not without his knowledge. Hallelujah. Did y'all ever, what time is it? Still 7 o'clock. Ain't that a blessing? My doctor, Shelton, that done my wife's surgery, every time, and I was there for days and nights sitting with my wife trying to help her. She had to have somebody with her around the clock. But every time that I'd go out in the hall, Dr. Shelton would be there. He'd come in and check on Mary. Checking her blood. At one time, they had 11 bottles going into my wife. 11. So she was really dire need. But anyway, he's checking on her all the time. So he's sitting at the computer about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went down and I said, Dr. Shelton, I said, you probably need to go home and rest. Now remember, he's a renowned surgeon. He looked at me and he sort of scathed me and he said, preacher, he said, the good Lord uniquely made all of us, and God made me the way I am. And he said, I want to run my race, stay my course, and help as many people on the life's road as I can. That's pretty good, ain't it, for a surgeon? So I just turned around and walked back to the room real quiet. Just shut up, amen. I thought I was trying to help him about going home, getting some rest. He said, the good Lord, he made us the way we're made. If you ever get a hold of that, I'm talking about when the veil is lifted, you'll see the greatness of God. See the grace of God. And you'll see how good God's been to you individually. Boy, I told my granddaughter, she's married and they live in right outside of E-Town. Got a good husband, loves the Lord. Ain't that a blessing to have kids that just love God? Do you know Kelsey, my granddaughter? Do you? She's just a clone of Mary. They had cloning, her and Kelsey had cloning down before Dolly ever come around. They're just like each other. They're just like each other. But I mean, she's doing good, and she's talking about, she said, Grandpa, she's asked me a Bible thing for her Sunday school today. And I said, Kelsey, honey, if you've got a husband, Bradley's good to you. He's a good provider. He's not a drunk. He's not a dope head. And I said, he provides for you. And I said, when you know your biblical role and he knows his biblical role, I said, it's harmony and contentment. Well, what I'm saying is, it's great when the veil is lifted. Let me show you one other thing, and I want you to write this on the fly if you bow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, the veil shall be lifted. Well, I got to thinking. When the veil is lifted, and you really, the groom has never seen the bride in all of her beauty till the veil is lifted. Have you ever got to think that we get to see the glory of God? Can you imagine Brother Jay seeing Jesus for the first time? Woo! Won't that be wonderful? You say, Brother Sisson, in Acts chapter 7, there's a man by the name of Stephen. They are stoning him to death. That don't mean too much to you when you say stoning to death. But how many of y'all remember that it says Jesus stood receiving Stephen, and it says he saw the glory of God. And we've never seen the glory of God. But I'm saying when the veil is lifted, we see through a glass darkly. One day we'll know every problem, we'll know every ifs and whys. Yesterday when I preached the funeral of Miss Elaine, there's a contrast. I want you to get this. I took care of a man named Charles Tilly. He was 77. Took care of his funeral Wednesday this past week. 77 years old, lost man. I hope you don't never have to experience nothing like this. This man never darkened the church house door in his life. He had no kind of relationship with the Lord whatsoever. I asked his wife, and they've been married over 50 years, and she said, you know, and just weeping and crying, she said, I've never seen any kind of spiritual side out of Charles. I said, never? She said, never. Is that when I was taking care of the funeral, all I know to do is preach Jesus to them. That's all I know to do. But now watch this. That's that funeral. Then I took care of Miss Elaine. As much difference as daylight and dark. She loved God, played the piano at church, faithful. I've been going there for 30 years, and she's always, every time I've ever been there, I mean, 85 years old. There's bound to have been times she didn't feel very well. She is so faithful to the house of God and the cause of Christ. Oh, I preached her funeral. It was wonderful. her hair so pretty. She had the prettiest gray hair, and I'd kid her all the time. I'd say, Miss Elaine, are you courting that pretty gray hair? But what I'm trying to get you to see, the very moment Miss Elaine died, did you know that God, I believe this, in a millisecond, she stepped from this world off into that world. In a millisecond. Would that not be wonderful? But the veil has to be lifted. And when the veil is lifted, you get to see a little glimpse of the glory of God. I believe this. I had a man get saved. He was 41 years old. Week four last. I wish y'all could have seen that. 41 years old. And he sort of ran to the altar. Sort of ran. Well, I got down beside him and I said, can I help you? He said, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. I said, well, we can solve that problem. He said, I couldn't wait for y'all to just quit singing for somebody to help me. So I went through the scriptures, showed him how to be, and tears running off the end of his chin. And I said, I don't want you praying these little prayer after me. I said, if you really genuinely want to be saved, right here, right now, you can be saved. I said, you're under deep conviction. I said, you ask Christ to come into your heart. And I said, he will. All you have to do is ask him. Needless to say, I said, I'm going to pray, and while I'm praying, I want you to pray. I wish you could have been there. I didn't put words in his mouth. 41 years old, and I said, J.R., did you ask the Lord to save you? Yes, sir. I said, are you saved? Yes, sir. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to live for Christ. I didn't prompt him. I didn't pump him or nothing. He said, I'm going to live for Christ. Ain't that a blessing? Listen, I love it, thank God. But when you see that, oh, you see, in a millisecond, when God saves a soul, think about that, eternal. But the veil, some of you right here have got loved ones that the veil has never been lifted spiritually. And you know what killed me? Our Sunday school teacher told me this morning, there don't seem to be a burden for sinners going to hell. They just don't seem to be a burden. But see, if the veil has ever spiritually been lifted from your face, you want somebody else to know what it really means. To really be saved. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed.